Psalm 57 this morning. Thank you, ladies. Taught them well over the years. Maybe they taught me well. Enjoyed that, amen. Good singing this morning. Psalm 57. Lord's good, ain't he? Psalm 57 this morning. We'll give you the title here in a little bit, but I want to read Psalm 57 and get into our text this morning. Verse 1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." I use that verse a lot when people are going through stuff that that they just need a little comfort. That's always a good verse to put in a card right there. That He'll hide you in His wings until these calamities be overpassed. You know what's a good thing is that they will pass one day, amen? All the trials, all the troubles, all the situations, the sickness is one day going to be over with. And I hope that you keep the faith and keep knowing that Christ, He's coming back, amen? And don't quit, don't give up, and just keep looking toward heaven. But I want you to notice, as David writes this, we know that this is what is considered a cave psalm. He writes it in concordance with the cave where he was in there with Saul. And really could have lost his life. And God gave him a lot of things while he was in the cave. And so look at verse 2. It says, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." Verse 3. "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would have swallowed me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions." You ever felt like that? Ever felt like you were living in the den of lions? Amen? Just feel like at any time things could go bad? The rest of verse 4 says, "And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are a sharp sword." Been around a few of them. Verse 5 says, don't elaborate, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth." Isn't it amazing that in the midst of all this trial and all this trouble in David's life, that he says, I was there. I was at the point of death. I was there in that cave and I could have died. But he said, you know what? I just started thinking about something. And it's which we ought to do also. Is he said, I just started thinking about God. And I started to think about He's above all the problems and He's above all the stress and all the trials that I'll ever go through. Amen. But I want you to notice what David continues to say. He says, "Be exalted," but he says, verse 6, "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are all fallen themselves." But I want you to notice verse 7. David says, it looks bad sometimes. But David said, my heart, notice what he says, "My heart is fixed, O God." He doesn't say it once. I believe the first time he tells God this, and the second time it's a reassuring to him. You ever said something to somebody and then you say it again just to make sure you're reassuring yourself? But notice what he says. He said, "My heart is fixed, O God." But notice he says it again, "My heart is fixed." He says, "I will sing and give praise." Whoa, what a testimony. Now, notice over in Psalm 108. Psalm 108. I want you to notice what David says again. In the first verse. David said in Psalm 108, verse 1, he says, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory." He said, God, again, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I'll just read this one, but in Psalm 112, he says in verse 7, he says, "And he shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Verse 8 said, "His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemy." Talks about the heart being fixed. And I'll preach a sermon this morning about a fixed heart. About a fixed heart. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We love You. And Father, I count it an honor to be standing behind this sacred desk this morning. And Father, we know that, Father, You want to speak to our hearts. And Lord, You want to say some things to us. And if we don't open our hearts and our minds to your word this morning, it'll fall on deaf ears. And we'll soon leave out of here the same way we came in. But God, right now, I pray that all along this congregation, Lord, that there are people praying and God asking you to speak to them, such as you have done to me. And Father, that you would relay a message through me today, Lord, as a messenger, God, just relaying what you want to be heard and what you want to be heeded this day. But Father, we ask you to bless. We ask that you let the Holy Spirit just have liberty here to walk up and down the aisles and reach every heart. Father, for the ones that are here that are not saved, I pray for them, God. I pray that you save them today. And Father, we're going to give you praise and glory for all that you're going to do, all that you're going to do in our midst today, God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A fixed heart. I looked up the word fixed in the Webster's, and I looked it up in my Strong's Concordance. And basically, it means to be vertical. But I looked it up again, and that's kind of my little dictionaries. I have a small dictionary, and everybody has the little pocket size, you know, and you can't read some of them. So I actually went to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it says to meet another line at a right angle. I about jumped out of my chair when I just read the definition of this word fixed. It means to intercept or to meet another line at a right angle. So if there is a line this way, to be perpendicular, which the word fixed means, it means to be at a 90-degree angle from that fixed line. If there's a fixed line, we can always be perpendicular to it. And that's where our world is today. There's no fixed line anymore. There's no fixed line of morality anymore. There's no fixed line anymore when it comes to our belief system. There's no fixed line. People say, well, I believe this, you believe that, we all get along. But my friends, there has to be a fixed line. There has to be a line that's drawn in the sand, and it has to be by the author of God. The Bible is a fixed line. And God Himself is a fixed line. And for us to say that our heart is fixed, our heart is set, our heart is vertical to God, means we have to be right with God. David said, God, I've been through this troubling time. I've been through this valley. I've been in this cave, and Saul has sought my life. He said, but God, I've always been straight with you. God, I've always been in line with you during this time. Now, we know what David's life hasn't always been right with God. Matter of fact, whenever he got out of line with God was whenever he wasn't doing what God told him to do. By the way, that's right in mind of your life. When we don't do what God tells us to do, no longer is our heart fixed on Him. No longer are we established into that fixed line, and we become perpendicular to it. I was thinking about our theme, stand firm in the faith. You know what I think is sad in today's society is that people say, well, what is the faith? How can I stand firm in something I don't know about? How can I be fixed in something I know nothing about? You ask the normal person today about knowing the flood, they don't know that story anymore. Because they wasn't raised like me and you were in the Sunday school, hearing those great stories. So it's hard for them to be fixed into the faith, or are firm in the faith, because they don't know the faith. Let me ask you this morning, what are you fixed in? What are you concreted in? How are you today? God has drawn a line in life, and the line is the cross. And we must be perpendicular to the cross in order for our heart to be fixed. When God spread His arms out on the cross, He was showing that He would welcome all mankind. He was dying for all mankind. Why? So we could be fixed in Christ. Are you fixed in Christ this morning? Is your heart, is your life fixed in Christ? Christ is that line, that fixed line that cannot be moved. By the way, we were talking about this in Sunday school. The God of 1960 is still the God of 2013. We think God changes with the times. Well, people back then got saved differently. No, they didn't. They believed in Christ. For by faith are you saved through faith, or for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. We're all saved the same way. It's by Jesus Christ. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a fixed object in eternity. Oh, glory. I like that. Amen. I'm fixed in my eternity. Why? Because my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, glory. Amen. In the words of the late, great Jerry Clyer. Oh. Some of y'all know who Jerry Clyer is. Some of you don't know. He's from Louisiana. Amen. Or Mississippi, sorry. Yazoo City, Mississippi. That's it. Amen. I tell you, I was thinking about... This is my devotion this week. I read this Monday. And I thought about it every day this week because David said, my heart is fixed. And I begin to think of the world that we live in. It seems like we can't be fixed in nothing anymore. I'm gonna confess today. I'm a guy who doesn't like routine. I'm the opposite of Pastor Crawford. Pastor Crawford is there. I wished I was that way. He knows what he's going to do every day. Some days, unless he's sick. And he calls me at 8:30 in the morning and says, hey, you're going to preach today, amen? Then my heart becomes fixed on, hey, I got to preach, amen? Started my new Sunday school class this morning, I was fixed on that. 8:30 this morning, hello. I know when Miss Tanya calls me in the morning, she goes, she's like, guess what? I was like, no, not today. Not today. I pray for Pastor so much from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. I said, Lord, you've done miracles before. Get him here, Lord. But man, I begin to think on this verse and think of how we live in a world that is changing. My life, if I don't like eating at the same restaurant all the time. Even if I go to the same restaurant, I like different food. I like to change. I like variety. That's why we live in America. It's variety, people. They don't make a menu 3 pages long for you to be fixed on something. They want you to have variety. You eat chicken one day, then you eat pulled pork from the South. Hallelujah. Praise God. But can I say that even in my life, sometimes I like variety in different things. I'll change up sports every now and then. I like watching football sometimes. I like watching this sometimes. But you know what? My life doesn't change when it comes to Christ. I'm not going to say one day that I'm for this God or for this God and for this God. My heart is always going to be with Christ. My eternity is fixed. I cannot change my eternity now. Because one day, as a 16-year-old boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trusted Christ and He became my God and my Savior. I'm fixed in eternity. But can I say, as David said, my heart is fixed on God. You know, sometimes in our life we face troubles, trials, and all those things. And those things sometimes can make our faith vision blurry. Sometimes as the storms come, and I was driving home last night when the storms were coming in, and I was looking out in the distance, and it was amazing how you could see the rain coming down, and you could barely just see just a little ways away because of how the rain was coming down. But I knew in my heart that on the other side of that cloud there was a sun shining. There's always the sun shining behind the clouds. But back in Psalm 57, I was looking again, and David said, notice again, he said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. He said, I will sing and give praise. And basically he says the same thing again in Psalm 108, verse 1. My heart is fixed. Can I just say this morning that before your heart is fixed, it has to be fixed? Before your heart can be perpendicular to Jesus Christ and the foundation of Christ, you have to have a new heart. You have to have a heart after Jesus Christ. You have to be born again. The Bible says you must be born again. When you were born into this world, you were born with a broken heart. You say, I thought my boyfriend did that to me. No, that was Adam that did that to you. Adam gave us all a broken heart. Our heart was not fixed on God. Our heart was at enmity with God. We were children of disobedience by nature. We were opposite of God. Our hearts were not with God. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble, by the way, was their heart got out of whack. They listened to their flesh instead of going with what God gave them. And they fell and they sinned in the garden. I was enemy of God. I was against God. I was without God in my life. When I was born, I was without God. And until my heart was fixed, until my heart was reborn again, until Jesus gave me a new heart. Matter of fact, He said He gives us a new heart and a new song. And David said, "My heart is fixed and I will sing and I will praise Thee." This morning, is your heart fixed? You were born with a broken heart. You say, "Well, how do I get my heart fixed?" You get your heart fixed by trusting in Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus saves you, He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new want to in life. So many people walking by you each and every day who are lost and on their way to hell. They don't even think about eternity. But what about you? Do you think about eternity? I think about it all the time. The longer I tell people all the time, the longer I live in this world, the more I think about that world. The more I see the corruptness of this world, the more I say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen? I'm not trying to hurry Him up. I'm just letting Him know I'm ready. He's going to come when He wants to come anyway. I'm not going to hurry Him up, but I want to let Him know that, hey, I'm ready. My family's saved, ready to go. Hallelujah. Let's go. My heart is fixed on that. But I want you to have a fixed heart today. You've got to have a new heart. In order for you to be saved this morning, you've got to come to Christ, repenting of your sin and seeing Him as the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Jesus Christ will fix your heart this morning. Maybe your heart is broken this morning. Maybe you're saved, but maybe you're heartbroken. Maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you're going through a testing in life. Whatever it may be, can I say that Christ can fix your heart this morning? Christ can fill those voids where you're allowing other things to come in and have your heart fixed. But here's where I want to get this morning. David said, "Oh God, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed." Meeting another line at a right angle. Wow. Christ is the line, right? Christ is the never-changing line in life. He doesn't change with the times as some people think He does. He's always the same. The line of Christ has gone throughout all of time. By the way, Jesus was there when the world was formed, right? There was not anything made that was not made by Him. John 1 tells us He was there at creation. He was with God. And He said, "Let us make man in our image." We know He was there. He was before time. He's always been. So there has always been a line all throughout time. And all that God says is that we've got to line up with Him. Because why? We missed the mark. You know, I don't know a lot about math, and I'm fine with saying that. Amen. I know Brother Clark's a math guy, Miss Charlene. I don't know a lot about math, but I do know angles a little bit. I do know there's right angles and there's wrong angles. Trust me, come to my house and look and watch me use a compound miter saw. I know all about wrong angles. I never will forget one time my grandfather said, "Son, I want you to go. We're putting in some doors." He said, "I want you to go cut this at a 90 degree. I said, "All right, got it." I went over there to that compound miter saw and I said, "Where's 90 degrees at?" So in my mind, I'm looking at my little thing I had in school, you know, and I was thinking, "Where's 90 at?" And he was messing with me. I cut the board, tug it back, and he said, "You got it right." It was a straight cut. But then he tricked me. He said, "Now I need a 45. I said, "I want to be 2 out of 2. I took that 45 back to him, and he put it up there. He says, "This is not a 45. I said, "How do you know?" He put those two together that he already had and tried to meet them up, and they didn't match. Can I say there's a lot of people trying to match up with Christianity today, but they really don't match up. It's the wrong angle. They've gone at life at the wrong angle. They've tried wrong things. And guess what? If you're not at the right angle with Christ, you can't be fixed. And I look a lot of times, I was trying to cut out some door frames one time with some molding, and I did pretty well. Then I said, well, I was going to upgrade to crown molding. Just hire somebody to come do it. I tried it, putting it up there. I was like, wow, that looks good. The first piece looked good because they didn't have to cut it. But that second piece, I tried it every way. I tried six tubes of caulking, and it still didn't look good. You know why? Because I had it at the wrong angle. And there's a lot of times we're trying to line up with God using wrong methods, using wrong motives. Right? Sometimes we try to use wrong messages. Well, preacher, I heard this the other day on the radio. Well, that don't make it right. What is right? There has to be one truth that we line up with. And if we're not perpendicular, if our heart is not fixed on the Word of God and on the things of God. Hey, listen this morning. You can have all the opinions in your life. You can have all the opinions. But if it does not match up with this, you're at a wrong angle. You're at a wrong angle. You cannot be fixed on God. And when David said, my heart is fixed on thee, David said basically, my heart is concrete thinking about God, who God is, and what God is. What can God do in your life? He can do anything. You realize what he done for David? He done a lot of things for David, but just to mention a few, number one, he forgave him. Right? What else did he do? He saved him time and time again. From the arrows, from Saul, from all the things of life, that all the battles that David fought in, guess what? God said, I'll fight for you. If your heart would just be fixed on me. So many times in life, we say, God, we come to this altar, and I've done it too. I've come to these altars and say, Lord, I really want to fix my heart on you. God, I just want to be what you want me to be. I want to be obedient. And God, my heart is fixed on thee. And I get back and go to my pew. And it seems like the battle starts. Because you know why? The devil doesn't like you to be fixed in God. He doesn't like your mind to be fixed on God. He doesn't like your heart to be fixed on God. But David said, all that I can think about, all I want to do is what God wants me to do. Is your heart fixed this morning? Is your heart fixed on God this morning? Because you know what I believe? I believe if our heart will get fixed, it'll give us a song in our heart. Notice what David said in Psalm 108 again. He said, oh God, my heart is fixed. And he said, because of that, I will sing. Wonder why you lost your song? I'm not talking about Whistling Dixie. I'm not talking about do Lord, oh do Lord, do remember me. I'm talking about that song in your life that God gives you and the joy that comes with it. You ever wonder why you lost that? It's because you're losing your angle. I love watching Buddy's home videos. I love watching the wedding ones. When the groom's up there and he locks his legs and you can tell he's nervous. Not that I was. I just stayed like this. But it's funny because if you watch them, you can notice their angle starts to change. Where they were vertical, they start to go at the wrong angle. What happens when you start leaning one way? That's the way you fall. It's funny when somebody's filming it. But it's not funny in the Christian life. When we start leaning one way or the other, and no longer are we perpendicular to Jesus Christ, no longer are we lining up with Christ, no longer is Christ our foundation, no longer is Christ our focus. But listen to me this morning, is that when we begin to lean and we begin to come to a wrong angle in our life, we lose our song. We lose that joy in our life, as Pastor's been talking about on Wednesday nights or Sunday night. The joy that's in our life, we begin to lose that. Why? Because we're no longer fixed on God. You ever seen people, boy, they're just happy-go-lucky. They're focused on God. Their faith is full. Their joy is full. And all of a sudden, they start looking around. Remember a man in the Bible named Peter? He was vertical, stepping out of that boat. He stepped out of the boat and he was fixed on Christ. His focus was on Christ. But it said when he saw that the winds were boisterous, that he began to what? Go at the wrong angle. He began to sink. Listen to me this morning. That could be me and you. That could be you sitting here this morning. You feel like you're beginning to sink. I've been in quicksand before. Me and my brother was hunting one time. We loved to duck hunt. And we would duck hunt in the swamps of Florida. Amen. In the backyard. And you would walk through mud with your waders on like this. Slap the gators out of the way. Water moccasins out of the way. All these things out of your way. And you just keep going. Amen. Every good hunter in Florida always had a shotgun and a pistola. Amen. Because you couldn't get your gun up high enough to shoot like that. So you shoot like that. But we was duck hunting one time, and we had come to a clear spot that was leafed over. There was leaves all over it, and we were just going to walk through there to get onto the next duck pond. And my brother, of course, let me lead because I was the guy who walked like this. You know why you walk like this? Spider webs. So I'm walking through there with my gun, and I'm doing this. I wish if somebody would have filmed it, it would look funny. But I'm knocking the spider webs out of the way. And then all of a sudden, I feel like I'm going like this. And all of a sudden, I knew where I was at. If you've ever been to Florida, it's real sandy. But also, there's a water table that comes underneath there that makes the right mixture for you to get in quicksand. And you know what I had to do? I didn't go, well, I'm okay. Help! Hey! Help! That shotgun became my lifesaver. Amen. And I was pulled from that. But listen, sometimes in life we're in quicksand. Sometimes we begin to sink and we don't realize it until we're right here. When we should cry out to God and say, God, I need my heart fixed so I can be fixed on you. Because if we begin to look at this world and watch television, if you watched the news 24 hours a day and read every newspaper, you'd be so miserable. Because it's not good news, it's just any news. And so when we begin to look at this world and we're like, oh, the economy's bad. Oh, we got this person here and they're doing bad. And you know, Brother Jack gave me a prayer request this morning. I know Brother Jack mentioned a missionary in Lithuania, not Louisiana, even though they need missionaries. He was arrested for murder. Killed his wife. Remember he just mentioned, like Wednesday night, wasn't it? That his wife was found dead. Well, guess what? It was the missionary that killed his wife. You say, what in the world happened? Something had to happen where he lost his angle. He was no longer fixed on God. He began to be, and if you know the whole story, he got fixed on things of the world. His mind and his heart began to be consumed with things of this life. And he began to seek and he didn't realize that he was going down till it's too late. I could tell you a preacher right here in the Metroplex, close to the Metroplex, Independent Fundamental Baptist preacher. Just in the last month or so. Committed sin in his life. Lost his family. Lost everything. Why? Because we lose our focus and our fix on Christ. I promise you this. You stay fixed on Christ, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I get so aggravated at myself sometimes. I'll be so focused, and it just seems like everything starts being thrown at you. Yeah, God will help you with those things, but sometimes it just seems like they come in wheelbarrows, dump trucks. and they begin to dump on you and they get heavier and heavier and heavier. Instead of doing what the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you, we try to take it all in on ourselves and we begin to bog ourselves down. We begin to sink in that quicksand of life, and no longer is our heart fixed on God. And for long, we're drifting and we begin to be at the wrong angle and no longer at the right angle. Let me ask you this morning, I'm done. What angle are you today? How are you lined up with God today? Is God your foundation? I hope that He is. I pray that He is. The Bible said if any man build on the sand, that his house, it's going to fall, it's going to crumble. But if he build on the rock, if he has a good foundation, the right foundation, he can build. You know what? We build vertical, right? We build according to God's plan and God's Word. We build off the Word of God. How's your heart this morning? Is it fixed? Is it perpendicular to God? Is it vertical? Is it upright? Is it fixed this morning? Oh, I hope that it is. But the greatest thing this morning is that if your heart is not fixed for eternity, Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what I like about God? Everything. You ever say that? You ever just say, you know what I like about God? I like everything. I like that He saves old sinners. I like that He saves us from the depths of hell. I like that He gave us, not only did He forgive us and cleanse us through His blood, but He gives us a home in heaven. Whew. When I got saved, Jesus Christ took the pen of glory and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He ain't got no eraser. As Mays Jackson says, God ain't got no eraser on that glory pen. Amen. I'm glad for that. My heart is fixed in eternity. But how's your heart right now? Is it fixed on God? Maybe you're going through a horrible situation. I don't know what it is. Don't want to know. But I do know one who does know. And I do know that God can take your heart. And that with a repentant heart, you come before Him. And I promise you, He'll get you back vertical again. I've heard this time and time again that sometimes God has to get us horizontal before He can get us vertical. You know what the picture of the baptistry is, right? The death, burial, and resurrection. You know what it is? You go from the lying to the living. To the lying, the death, the buried. To what? To walk in newness of life, to be vertical, amen, at the right angle with God. Are you at right angle with God this morning? Or are you starting to lean a little bit? The way He leans, the way you fall. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed.